Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, beginning with chapter 24, verse 1. But very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they went inside, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they stood utterly at a loss, suddenly two men in dazzling garments were at their side. They were terrified and stood with eyes cast down. But the men said, "Why search among the dead for one who is alive? Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be given into the power of sinful men and be crucified and must rise again on the third day." Then they recalled his words, and returning from the tomb, they reported everything to the 11 and all the others. The women were Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and they with the other women told these things to the apostles. But the story appeared to them to be nonsense, and they would not believe them. Then picking up with verse 36, as they were talking about all this, there he was standing among them. Startled and terrified, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he said, "Why are you so disturbed? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. No ghost has flesh and bones as you can see that I have." They were still incredulous, still astounded, for it seemed too good to be true. So he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They offered him a piece of fish they had cooked, which he took and ate before their eyes. And he said to them, "This is what I meant by saying, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms was bound to be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. "So you see," he said, "the scripture foretells the suffering of the Messiah and his rising from the dead on the third day, and declares that in his name repentance, bringing the forgiveness of sins, is to be proclaimed to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are to be my witnesses to it all. I am sending on you the gift promised by my Father. Wait here in this city until you are armed with power from above." How do we go about celebrating this day in the middle of a pandemic? You think about the way our lives have changed over the last several weeks. For some of us, this has felt like a precipitous change, a radical change, that we are staying home more, we're seeing people much less, we are practicing social distancing, and we are hyper-vigilant about our hygiene, washing our hands, being super conscious about how frequently we touch our faces, going to the grocery store, and obtaining everyday items has become a stress. Every time we tune into the news, we hear one more sad story after another. By this point, you may be beginning to feel some fatigue, wondering how in the world you can last much longer. And yet we also are hyper-aware of a count that Johns Hopkins has been making since the very beginning of the pandemic, a worldwide account of all the cases of COVID-19. And the other columns, those who have recovered, and then the column that scares us, those who have died. Our hearts go out to the medical workers and to the morgue staff, and to the families that have been deeply hurt by these deaths. How do we celebrate the resurrection in a time of a pandemic. Does it seem out of place? And yet, was it any more out of place in the world in which Jesus lived? We must remember that our story in the Gospel of Luke this morning begins with mourning. That this chapter follows those chapters where Jesus has endured much suffering. Jesus endured the trials, the mockery. Jesus endured the pain at the hands of the Roman soldiers who whipped him and placed a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus carried his cross to the place of the skull, and there he was crucified. The Roman soldiers knew what they were doing. They knew how to torture. They knew how to kill. And on the cross, we remember Jesus' last words and his suffering. We remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that the crucifixion killed Jesus, and the Roman soldiers wanted to make sure, so they stabbed him in the side with a spear. They took Jesus' body down, and his followers had to rush his funeral because of the coming of the Sabbath. Jesus' body went into the tomb, and they started to mourn the loss of the Messiah. That loss continued through the next day. And then on the morning of the third day, the women who were close to Jesus, Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and others, decided to go to the tomb to finish a funeral, to anoint the body, and to bring their mourning to a ritual that was necessary in saying goodbye. But on the way, things started to feel out of place. As they approached the tomb, they realized that stone's not where it's supposed to be. What's happened? Is there an earthquake? Were there grave robbers? Has someone dared to desecrate the body of Jesus? They run to the tomb and they find that it is empty. Who would do this? They say. And they're wondering what is going on, and suddenly, standing among them are two individuals they've never seen before, and these individuals are shining brightly. They're angels. And these two strangers issue a challenge. In a question, why do you look for the living among the dead? And they ask it in such a way that the answer seems obvious. Why would you be so silly as to be in the tomb looking for Jesus? And yet the followers, the disciples here, the women who've been with Jesus, could say in return, we saw the suffering. We saw the life draining from his face. We saw the spear. We saw the limp body that went into the tomb. Jesus died. People don't come back from that. And here the angels anticipate these questions. They remind the women and the followers there that Jesus himself had told them what was going to happen. And then the stark reality of the empty tomb. The body was not there. Could it be that he has risen? the angels disappear, leaving the women to their overwhelming joy. They rush back to find the disciples and to tell them all that they have witnessed. And then here, the disciples have difficulty believing them. They say, "This is crazy talk. What do you mean he's risen? We saw him die." Peter, of course, wants to verify this, and so he runs to the tomb, checks things, doubles back, tells the others the same thing, that the tomb is empty. They start debating, wondering what in the world is going on. Is this some elaborate practical joke? Has someone stolen Jesus' body? While they're talking, suddenly two of their friends report that they've seen Jesus on the road to Emmaus. There's more discussion and debate among the disciples, and they wonder what in the world is going on. Suddenly, in the middle of their company, stands Jesus. The disciples don't know what to do. They feel like this is a nightmare. This is a ghost. What do you mean, Jesus, you're among us? And what's very important is to see how Jesus responds to them. He reminds them again of what he has told them. And then he invites them to come close to him, to touch him, and to see that he is flesh and blood, that he is bodily among them, a resurrected new body among them. He even eats fish to confirm, yes, he is with them. He has risen as he said he would. This is God's plan. And because of the incarnation, we, the church, proclaim today that death is not the final story. The tomb is not the final story. Because of Jesus, the final story is life in God's presence. So how do we celebrate resurrection in the middle of a pandemic? The story tells us that there is a time for mourning. The followers mourned Jesus' death. We too today die. We do not need a COVID-19 count to tell us that every day untold numbers of people die. This is just more graphic, more tangible, more in our faces because of the world in which we live today. Our mortality is before us. But the story in the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus went through death and came out on the other side. And that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is our Messiah and guide. Jesus is Son of God who participated in the creation and is Lord of life. So that today, we the church community proclaim at the funeral of our members, at the funeral of disciples of Christ, that the answer to the problem of sin and death is resurrection and life in Christ. So that today the question that we still ask whenever we turn and look at a world of death and suffering and despair is the question that the angels asked those who went to the tomb that morning. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, and He is working all things, inviting you to participate in all things, working to the glory of God. He is not here. He is risen indeed. This morning we come now to a time of invitation and commitment. If you have this season been reading through the Gospels, been studying the life of Jesus, and want that hope to be part of your life, First Baptist Church Piedmont offers you that opportunity to be a part of their community, to be a disciple of Christ, to make a profession of faith, and to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism into a new life, to live with the promise that death will not be the end, but will be a passage into another life, a life of resurrection because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. That opportunity is for you. If you would seek counseling, please call the church office. If you've already made that commitment and are part of our community, realize once again the joy of resurrection and to hold on to that hope. That does not mean that you will not suffer. That does not mean that you will not mourn. Our heart breaks at those deaths that are around us and those who suffer. But we mourn with hope. And that is what the joys of resurrection are all about. We offer that to you this morning.